If you're in business, you need to be kept informed. In Business on Radio Kerry, every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m.
Now, there's a growing demand for flexible working hours, and to hear a bit more about this, I'm joined by Helen Walsh of EmployFlex, which is establishing a flexible work-friendly database. Helen, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks, Amber.
First of all, can you tell us about EmployFlex?
Yeah, no problem. EmployFlex, we are a Cork-based recruitment agency specialising in flexible employment and supports for people looking to return to work or looking for some form of flexibility in their workplace, Amber.
Fantastic. And when was the company set up?
26. The founder, Karen O'Reilly, the concept came from her own challenges really in returning to work. She returned to Ireland with kids after having lived in France for 12 years. And despite being a qualified accountant and having run some successful businesses, she really struggled to find some form of flexible employer. And that's how she established Employ Mum. And we would have started off in 2016 as Employ Mum. And in 2019, then we broke out as well as Employ Flex, because we found that both men and women really find flexible work, and the Employ Mum was a bit limiting in that sense.
Fantastic. And I suppose maybe just, can you outline what flexible work is? I suppose it's important that we don't confuse it maybe with remote or hybrid working.
Absolutely. And I think that's one thing people, many employers, especially pre-COVID, had the fear of hearing flexible work, because they assumed straight away that they'd never see the employer. So really, and I think more so since COVID, flexible working really is a kind of a broad cluster of working arrangements, which can give you a varying degree of flexibility over the duration, the location and the times you work. So there could be many types of flexible work arrangements, Amber, such as part-time work, where you just reduce your hours, often by working fewer days in a week. A compressed hours is another way of working full-time hours, but doing it over fewer days. So maybe four long days rather than 5 8-hour days. Flexi time is probably the most popular one right now, where you choose to start and end your work, but maintaining a core set of hours. So if the business demands somebody to be physically in the office for meetings, or physically available, should I say, for meetings between 10 to 3 every day, and then you can choose your start and finish time accordingly. This is very popular, especially for many parents nowadays who could manage a school drop-off and still do their core hours. Staggered hours, very similar, different start, finish and break times compared to others. And this is very, very popular amongst manufacturing staff, for example, who can't work from home but still look for some form of flexibility. And then hybrid is the biggest one really, Amber, that's come in since COVID, a mixture of working remotely and then sometimes in your physical workplace. And one thing we found during COVID is that some of our clients would have grown so much that they actually no longer have the bricks and mortar to facilitate their staff. So the hybrid has really worked really well. So certain employees choose which days they're physically in the office, and then they do a really nice rotation around that.
That sounds fantastic. And Helen, is there a big demand then for flexible working here in Ireland?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I think one thing the pandemic has shown us really is that, you know, we can make it work more than maybe we thought pre-COVID. So there was 77% of people who did some form of flexible work since 2019. And now we do know that there are some, unfortunately, people working in healthcare and some forms of manufacturing that it is impossible. But I think we've learned that, you know, you can be creative to a certain extent. And if you are open to some form of creativity in your flexible working model, chances are then the employers stand to, you know, attract a wider talent pool of candidates if they put it out there.
And I suppose the demand is there, but are companies then buying into it? Are they offering it, and are they kind of really looking at it as a viable option?
It's still slow uptake. I think this agenda, there's a new EU directive, Amber, that is being implemented by October of this year, where parents of kids under 8 and carers have the right to request flexible work from their employers. And this is a great first step for the EU and the Irish government to kind of push the agenda of flexible work. So it's a good first step. I mean, in a dream world, we would prefer it to be opened out to everyone in the workplace and not just for carers and parents, because then that would really show a commitment to changing the flexible work landscape. But we are finding that many of our clients who are, you know, developing hybrid work models and flexible work models, they are really benefiting from that talent pool that I alluded to earlier. And they are really both retaining and obtaining the quality staff here in Ireland.
And you mentioned the new EU directive and that they have the right to request the flexible working arrangements. But my understanding is, as it stands, that the employee can request it, but it doesn't necessarily have to be granted then by the employer. Is that right?
that's right. I know that that is right. They have the right as well to decline it. However, the way we're looking at it is to set yourself up for success in being granted it. Put together a business case, knowing your business needs. And I'm sure many of us have done some form of flexibility in the last 2 years, really, during the pandemic. So what we're advising many employees who are, you know, listening to this now and thinking, oh, maybe I could do 2 of my 4 or 5 days working from home or what have you, build your rationale. You know, you know your business more than anyone. You know the needs. You know that, yes, I do need to be present for core hours, but I also can do this chunk of admin work at home. And if you build it out with kind of tangible outputs, then you're really putting your, you know, best foot forward in that sense. I know it is, it's a shame that they can still decline it, but they really do have to give valid reasons as well, Amber, before they decline it. They can't just give a straight up no. They have to prove why they cannot provide it. So I think put your best foot forward and build a business case, and you are setting yourself up for a good chance of being granted some form of flexibility.
That's some great advice. Over the past year, you know, people have become accustomed to change, really, haven't we all, in different ways. But if an employee is requesting this, maybe they feel they can do more and they might, you know, the employer might get more out of them if they're able to be flexible with their working day and maybe start earlier or finish later, depending on their own circumstances.
Absolutely. And like many of our clients, Amber, like if they came to us maybe early days in COVID and, you know, if it was a Cork-based company that said, oh, they need to be in Cork, but then they realise actually no, they don't at all, because none of us are in the office, and they've opened up that, and they've opened it up to maybe monthly base, and we only need to see them once a month. They are the ones that are really benefiting, and they are coming back to us saying, you know, we are getting such loyalty in return for offering, you know, candidate X a little bit of flexibility, and just she's just doing 32 hours instead of 40, and she is clearly very indebted for it, and you know, for having that, those extra few hours to drop kids to school and collect them. And they're really reaping the benefits. And it's a cost saving to them as well, Amber, because, you know, the chances are then it's maybe 8% of a salary. And, you know, they're working really hard and they're very grateful. So I think flexibility works both ways. You know, a company, if you are receiving, you know, some form of flexibility, then you will give it back as well. And they really, you do benefit from a very loyal and dedicated staff member because of it.
That's great to hear. I suppose over the past 2 years, we've seen that workers have been very resilient and they certainly can adapt to new ways of working. Do you feel, Helen, that this will help things progress then when we look to flexible working and again, kind of maybe opening it up to everyone and just kind of having a more open-minded approach to it?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, it took a pandemic for many companies to embrace some form of flexible work, but it has really shown that kind of resilience and that kind of bouncing back and that creativity, you know. Some roles that you would have thought not a chance that they can do that outside the business, and they've made it work, you know. So I think we've proven so much is achievable. And then I think if employers, as I alluded to earlier, are open to being a little bit more creative in their models, then chances are that they, you know, they will benefit from that kind of retaining valued employees. And, you know, it's really essential that they take the flexible working request really seriously, because it's also for the benefit of their team's well-being, productivity, the job satisfaction. And really, it is now is the ideal time for employees to make their case. And, you know, they can give their, some of the employers may not know that there's legal framework going to be around this by October of this year.
That's certainly true. EmployFlex has established or is establishing a flexible work-friendly database. Then can you just tell us a small bit about that, Helen?
So I suppose one thing we've learned is that many, many companies pay lip service to flexible work. And, you know, you go into the website and you think, you know, they're very pro-flexibility. But then the truth is we, on the other hand, see the employees coming to us looking for flexible work. And we're learning that maybe some of these companies are really talking the talk, but not walking the walk. So what we want to find those true flexible employers. And we have this flexible friendly database that we'd like those true flexible employers to join. And we have kind of a set of 10 criteria that these companies need to tick the boxes of just to prove that they are offering flexible work, that it's not available just to maybe the senior staff, and that it's coming from the top down, that it's available across the board, and maybe from day one when they're advertising for a new job, if they're advertising flexibility rather than waiting for somebody to request some form of flexibility. So we're just trying to separate those people that just throw out the diversity and inclusion and the flexibility in their interviews and in their websites when they're really not, when we get into the roots, but that they're not really offering that flexible truly.
And when do you hope to have that database up and running, and where can people access it?
You can go to our website now, and we have some of the criteria there that companies are need to adhere to. We would do an interview, and it's having a look at flexible work policy right now, and they can come to us for some advice. So it's readily available, and we just have our first few companies who've made the list, and we're going to ramp it up now a lot between now and October in time for this new EU directive.
That's fantastic. Helen, it's been great talking to you, and thank you for taking the time to join me on the show.
Thanks very much, Amber. Take care.
Keep up to date with Kerry Business News. Follow InBusiness or K on Twitter.